for Judy.
Quack, quack.
So Connor won't be joining us today. I guess I'll have to try to steer the meeting. We'll wait a couple of minutes, like maybe 3 minutes, and we'll kick it off.
Sounds good. I think I was going to present 3:31 on Noisekit's behalf because it's like 4 a.m. for him.
Did you have 3:31? Let me see.
3:31. He said it was on the schedule. It's super small.
I didn't add it to the schedule. As far as I know, let me check the calendar.
Okay.
It's
just adding a view function that he wants to add. I don't think it's going to be an issue, but if we want to kick it to next week, that's fine.
I mean, your view functions are fine. Even like the discussion was that maybe they don't need even zips because they don't affect contracts. But no, it wasn't announced.
Well, it's a contract change. It's just not an exciting one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they don't affect functionalities anyway.
Yeah. But we're building in public here, man. Come on.
I mean, yeah, of course. All for like doing it with a normal
yeah.
Process.
Yeah, I got you.
Is there any reason that it would have to be pre-announced, or can we just stick 3:31 in there?
Yeah, we can add it. I mean, the intuition behind announcing it ahead of time and giving everyone a chance to read it so that it would be more of giving the council the necessary time as well as the community to consume it before presenting it. However, this is more for complex things that require a bit of reflection, like, for example, a new product or increasing the dye wrapper capacity or something like that, you know, that requires a bit of thinking, or changing seed issue.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where this was discussed now, but I know wherever it was discussed, council should have been there. So I was already across this personally. I didn't know this was coming today, but I already took a look at this and already had discussion about it. So I get, the idea that we might not want to just sneak things in if the community hasn't had a chance to see them. But yeah, I do think there's not really a concern that council hasn't taken a look at it. Or at least they've had the opportunity.
Yeah, it's just a few, in the end, it's just a view function. It doesn't change how the contracts, interact. It's not adding something like someone can deploy their own contract, you know, and just have it read the data as this function, reads the data, and it would not, be different, you know, doesn't require us. Maybe for formality purposes, we do this for everything in order to avoid having to make judgments such as these, because sometimes it could lead to a slippery slope. Like, do we really need to announce it? You know?
Yeah, I get you.
All right, let's kick it off, I guess. We can start with NOAA's 3:31. It's quite straightforward, it seems. Go for it, NOAA.
Yeah, just presenting in Noisekit's stead here. So basically, like right now, when a market is added to the core system, it calls this register market function, and it gets assigned an ID. And that market is living at a the market implementation lives at its own address. It's its own set of smart contracts. So right now we don't have a view function to make it easy to pull what that address is based on the market ID. you could like work off of event data or a subgraph or something, but for composability, it's better to just put it in the smart contract. The technical specification in the SIP is the entirety of the code. It's three lines. I guess you could make it one line if you wanted. So yeah, hopefully this isn't controversial. For I guess the audience, I'll mention that like most of the engineering work right now is going into perps v3 and governance. And the reason why the core SIFs are this unexciting is because it's basically feature complete. So as we're working on other things, we're noticing small upgrades to make here. But that's why the majority of the core SIFs right now are things like adding new functions. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
All right. Does anyone have any questions or comments on the SIP?
Not
I think
for
you're
me.
Good to go. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next one is the base deploying on base, Mike's SIP. So it's SIP 336.
Cool. Yeah. So I proposed SIP 336 to deploy the V3 core systems on base. The idea being to get the contracts deployed there. They'll be deployed paused as is until probably perps V3 is launched. But there could be reasons to unpause them sooner if other markets are built. But the idea is let's do a show of support for the Optimism Superchain ecosystem, get Synthetix on base, and just be ready for attracting some builders when we're ready to kick things off there. There will probably be some further follow-up discussions on kind of like what the strategy is for going live on base, particularly around liquidity. I don't think those are going to be a massive part of this discussion. And we can save those for when the time comes.
What are the other, do we have competing kind of type of DEXs on base?
As in, like, are there other perps exchanges on base already?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen some kind of signal that they're going to be there, and like both new and existing, but nobody's officially launched yet.
Well, we wouldn't have officially launched right until we unpause, right?
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How much work will it take?
From a deployment standpoint, it's fairly straightforward from what I've been told. No, I know you're on the call. I don't know if you want to give a more technical background on what that looks like, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we put a lot of effort into the deployment tooling. I'll throw in the chat. We have this GitOps repository for V3. So in here, in terms of the amount of work it takes, you'll see like at the top level, there's an omnibus file for each of the networks we have an official core deployment on. So the work basically entails copying one of those files, renaming it to base, switching up the settings in that file to whatever we want, which it sounds like is sort of turning everything off at first. and then it's just running that command down in the README. So it should be fairly straightforward.
Got it. Cool.
So what if there are EVM differences between base and different deployments?
Yeah, so I think the reason why everyone's excited about base is because it's the OP stack. So, I haven't done too much of a deep dive myself, but I'm under the impression it's basically the Coinbase sticker over the over the Optimism code. So we're not expecting any issues with that. We could do some more testing on their base girly testnet, but
And we already have V3 contracts live on their girly testnet, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we already have stuff on their testnet. We haven't noticed any issues. I guess people can mess around with that more to see if there is a difference. But again, we're operating under the impression it's effectively Optimism, so wouldn't foresee any issues there.
From my recollection, there was protocols that got hacked because they deployed factory contracts on different chains. And some of those had like weird properties that resulted in infinite mints or something like that, you know. So what I'm trying to say is that it's just not, it shouldn't be like just running the same script without having at least some overview on the differences from what our experience had been on existing chains. Like, given the base, I think I see your point that it's equivalent. But if like one day we're gonna do Arbitrum or whatever, then probably it would take a lot more work, no?
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a degree of caution you would put into it. Like, I think most of those hacks that I've read have been with these, like, sort of experimental zero-knowledge EVM rollups where, they're just doing more creative stuff.
It was Giano.
Okay, cool. I'm not super familiar, but yeah, and I agree. Even with Arbitrum, it's probably worth doing more thorough testing than it would be for base. But yeah, as always, it's good to be cautious. So maybe there's more we can investigate on this front before we put it out as well.
Caleb, do you think that would be something we test with the contracts paused on mainnet, or something we'd be trying to test on Gurley?
Like if maybe even if we run tests, you know, it might not catch the nuances between the different chains. Like, and that's why you have black hats, you know, who check the nuances and attack protocols that don't, do the due diligence. So yeah, I mean, it's not simply as running a script. You have to like, really interact with the team and get someone who knows a bit about the protocol and try to see if it would open up some vulnerabilities. And that's what happened previously with some protocols that just like deployed the same script on different chains.
Yeah, I think more testing is sensible. I think it might also be worth reaching out to the base team and asking if there's anything that they're aware of that they need.
That would be helpful. Standard the RC20, or are there like differences or something in the EVM that's different? Or yeah, that would typically be even like the adding the opt-code, you know, or removing an opt-code could cause the issues.
For sure.
Like, yeah. All right. So given that everything is paused, I think this is not contentious. Hopefully when it's not paused, then probably it will be a little bit more exciting. If there are no other questions or comments, we can move to the next SIP. All right. Thank you, Mike. And Noah. The last SIP would be, there are two more SIPs to be presented today. One is, the USDT SIP 2030. Everyone's waiting for that, I believe, since everyone wants to short USDT.
Bert, yeah, I will, I'll jump in here. So the proposal is to allow USDT trading. There are a couple of advantages to this. The primary advantage to just jumping right in and doing this is that we already have the feeds live. So it's ready to go right now. people could use this as a hedge if there's significant USDT FUD, or they could just trade it. We saw, you know, with the USDC depegging, there was quite a bit of trading volume around USDC. I traded it myself. It was great fun. So I expect probably not much use for this unless we have an event that makes people kind of expect that there's going to be volatility in USDT. But luckily, we have those kinds of events fairly frequently where there's at least a couple days of anxiety around it. Because of course the event that people are trading is like some expected, complete depegging or something like this. There is a little bit of risk that, you know, something could happen that causes USDT to go, drastically to zero. So that seems to be kind of the big risk, that I'm aware of. And of course the good thing about this is, it's probably not going to go to infinity. It's going to go to zero. So, the amount of risk here is controlled by, the OI specifically, because you can only short, from 1 to 0. You can't short beyond that. So, I believe it's, 5 million in here is the total, OI, in USDT. I'll check in the GovCall chat. Are there any questions about this one?
Doesn't seem like it. I've checked. Anyone from the council has any questions or comments on listing USDT as a perp?
I think it makes a lot of sense. Although I wonder what kind of OI caps will set. Because, you know, obviously it's a stable coin, so, you know, question mark as to the amount of risk. At the same time, you know, at some point, it could suddenly be the time that USDT totally depegs. So I'm curious about how we're going to set those caps.
So the open interest limit was already mentioned in the SIP.
Yes.
It would be $5 million.
How do we, like, size that? Like, why do we think that's the right number?
Well, the thing is that if we look at exchanges, they mm-hmm. have like at any point $10 million in terms of book value. If you look at Curve, it has like $30 million worth of USDT in 3 pool. So based on that, we kind of wanted to take it a bit cautionary. So the thing is with these markets that I worry about is that markets are extremely slow. Noise takes like signal takes time to make its way. And so if you have a peg event, it takes a bit of time to make itself into prices. Takes a bit more time than necessary for traders to execute trades. So by the time that event is known, markets trade on our perps, and then oracles all of a sudden reflect that. And we've seen it a few times before. So that's what concerns me. But it's pretty edge case that USDT, like, all of a sudden says, yeah, we're going bankrupt. And it goes to zero. I think it's not likely to happen. That said, the open interest limit was set based on what we saw outside, what's available. And the skew scale as well, based on slippage to trade this, on chain and off chain. And funding, max funding rate velocity should help, balance out the skew. In case, like, we have a outsized pressure on one side of the skew. So all of these were taken into consideration when setting these parameters. Although, like, I would prefer, like, more volatile things, because, like, if we launch it and it doesn't trade, and I have to wait, you know, till some event so that I can see, okay, we had set the parameters correctly or no, we screwed up. Like, for example, Curve was set properly, and that's why we profited enormously from it when the events unfolded last week.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's just a guessing game for now.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, we'll have to get Sam over here to start another round of FUD and see if we can get some interest in it, just to test this out.
Also, the FUD is over, huh?
For today.
CIFO endorsement.
For today it's over.
CIFO endorsement, like that, put all the FUD away and we're good to go because of CIFO, or what is it? What was the event that,
supposedly he said he's able to redeem. I don't know if this has been confirmed or anything like that, but, it seems like for now, the FUD is gone, but you know how USDT is. There's another round of it every month, every 2 months. So I feel like, for a massive depegging event, I don't know if I'm expecting us to see, 80 cents or whatever crazy stuff happened with USDC. But for a little bit of interest for a hedge, I would actually expect that this comes up, relatively soon, that somebody wants to put a hedge on. I guess we'll see, right? I don't expect it to be our biggest money maker, but, I think it might have some use.
Even the, fees are not high on it, so it might not make us a lot of money, but it does give some advantage in being able to say that we offer this, That's not a lot of perp exchanges, I think, offer it. Aside from that, it's 55x on leverage rather than 25 on this one. So. Yeah, it's 55. All right. There are no comments or questions. We'll move on to the last SIP. All right. Last one is the STETH. I don't know if Gumboat is out. Let me see. Oh, he didn't make the meeting, it seems. Maybe he missed the calendar event.
I could go ahead and take it if that's all right with everybody.
Go for it.
So this proposal is to add an STETH ETH market. The primary reason for doing this is because we already have STETH, but it tends to be pegged to ETH. So really what people would want to be using a market like this for is trading the deviation between staked ETH and ETH. So this is a way to get at that. I assume possibly inspired by, in the rationale, it says with, inspired by the success of ETH-BTC, which is not our most traded market, but it's certainly not our least traded market the last few times I've looked at it. So it seems to be something people are interested in, could have some interesting hedging use cases, and generally, kind of similar to USDT, if there's a binary event where there's a large depegging, people would be able to trade this and would probably actually have, I'm speculating a little bit, but would probably have some less risk of going to absolute zero if people were trading the ratio, just because there's all kinds of different reasons why it could depeg a little bit that aren't necessarily a fear of STETH going to zero. So it seems like an interesting thing that we could add to the offerings. And CyberDuck's pointing out it trades in a very tight range most of the time. So, I imagine, much like USDT, we're probably looking at this one as, something people might add as a hedge, or something that will be actively traded in the case of these binary events that lead to very high volatility. It's probably not going to be anybody's daily trader, kind of daily trading instrument. But when these kinds of things do become useful, they're very useful. So I think having a few things that might have occasional use cases, as long as they don't add too much overhead, I think would be good.
there's plenty of liquidity on Curve for STETH. Last I saw it was like $300 million. So I'd assume it would be very stable-ish in terms of slippage, a lot of liquidity. So yeah, I'm not like 100% certain on being actively traded, as you said, unless you have like an event that would cause people to unstake. I think there are no questions on this one. So that's about it.
I think that's all from me.
Please, if you can, before you guys sign off, do one thing, please, is to vote on the SDT SIP so that we can roll it out tomorrow at the earliest. So the vote is already set up and good to go.
Thanks, Caleb. I appreciate that. Yeah, hopefully we can get this rolled out pretty soon, and we'll see if some more USDT FUD can roll in. Thank you.
Hopefully. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Yeah, hope for the worst. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Caleb. Thanks, everyone.